Look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. Interestingly enough, the easiest way for us to do this is for me to read the entire chapter and then go back. Okay? So just stay with me, read along in your Bible, and I'll read the entire chapter and then we'll go back, because I'm going to go forward and backwards in time as well. All right? Not me personally. That would be a miracle. I'm saying in the Bible. Okay? Marty McFly is not here. You guys are all old enough, you know that, who Marty McFly is. Xavier's like, who? Him and Brandon have no idea who Marty McFly is. All right. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, so there's our time stamp. Remember, Daniel's really good at time stamping, so we know that he's dead, but he's telling us what happened before, right? So this is when he gets this vision. Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Do you see how the Bible, how like Dr. Seuss stole from the Bible? Daniel's head was upon his bed. You see that? Everything. There's no new thing under the sun. Even Dr. Seuss stole from God. upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a shepherd, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I will know the truth of the four beasts, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake every great things, very, very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the four beasts shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand, into a divide, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. So let's go back here, and we're going to look. Verse 17 is the key verse, because we don't have to try to guess what this dream means, because Daniel tells us in verse 17. But let me give you this. I'm not going to teach about this today, and I don't make a big deal of it, because I think there's some things that go a little too far with it, but I think there is some reality. We believe, or I believe, that there is a difference between the kingdom of God that is currently on earth and the physical kingdom of heaven. And so in the Bible, you'll see they talk about the kingdom of God, and you'll see they talk about the kingdom of heaven. And I don't believe they're always synonymous. Sometimes maybe they're synonymous, but I don't believe they're always synonymous. Here's why. The Bible talks about, Jesus says, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? But while he's doing that, Rome is in charge of the world. Rome is the power. When Jesus says that, Rome is the mighty kingdom of the world, right? They are the world power. But we know there's a millennial kingdom coming, which is the kingdom of heaven, where Jesus actually comes and rules and reigns physically on earth with 10,000 of his saints. And so we come and reign on earth with him. And so I believe when you read in the Gospels, Matthew's Gospel is going to touch much on the kingdom of heaven. You're going to hear the kingdom of God in other chapters and different things like this. But my point to you is this. Know this about the Bible. The Bible has always been about a kingdom. And in the garden, it was the kingdom of heaven, right? It was literally a heavenly type of kingdom. And Satan came in, and Satan wants to pervert, because what does Satan want to be? Isaiah chapter 14. He doesn't want to be God. He just wants to be like the Most High God. And so Satan's like, if God has a kingdom and I've been cast out, well, I want a kingdom too. And so the way that Satan has done that, and he is the chief power back of the Antichrist, who we'll see here, and of all false religions, I think that false religions don't have to be religion like we see it. I think that this also means nations. I think this also means anybody who would worship or have self-worship of themselves and of their nations and these things. And so Satan has always been trying to set up kingdoms where these evil things can take place, and eventually the final kingdom on earth. This is why we are dispensationalists, because we believe God deals with mankind in different periods in different ways. And in this final kingdom, I'm a 7 dispensationalist. Some people believe in an 8th dispensation, which is kingdom, which is fine. It doesn't really matter. But this is how people deal with time, how God has dealt with time. So it's just kind of important to know that the entire Bible and the entire world's history that we know of has always been about a kingdom. It's always been about trying to be in power. And ultimately, we know who wins the battle. So we pick up here and we see, look at verse 3. So we're going to see these nations, there are 4 great beasts come up from the sea, diverse from one another. Well, again, chapter 7, verse 17 explains who are the beasts. So who are the beasts? The great beasts, which are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. So we're going to see that these are kings or leaders, and they're also kingdoms. Well, they're going to very much be in line with Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which Daniel prophesied and was able to interpret, of the golden kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And then we have a little less in this kind of silver kingdom with the Medo-Persians. And then we get this brass kingdom, or this kingdom that's coming after that, with the Grecians. And then this iron kingdom of the Romans that had the clay that was mixed up, right? The 10 toes break. And we're going to see some of that here. And it all had to do with real historical kingdoms, but it's all leading us to this final kingdom. And so we see there in verse 5 that it says, and behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. So the first beast was this lion with eagle's wings. It is very much true that Babylon was always related to a lion. So we know who this is. This is Nebuchadnezzar, a lion, and then it had these eagles. What is an eagle? What is a lion and an eagle? Even in the United States, what are they? They're the most majestic, regal type of beast. What did we know about Babylon's kingdom and Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom? That it would be the most majestic, regal kingdom. That it was going to be the most. He was literally, the Bible calls him that he's going to be a king of kings. Remember we read that? And it's only mentioned one other time in the Bible as far as anybody else, and that's of Jesus Christ, right? And so we know how that worked out. But then it says this bear. Why is this important? Because the kingdom that comes after that, a bear is not as majestic as a lion with a mane. But what is it? A bear is very powerful, and there would be arguments whether a bear is stronger than a lion. Depends on what kind of bear, what kind of a lion it is. But a bear is very powerful, maybe not as beautiful, not as majestic, but a bear also, watch what it does here. And it raised up itself on its side and had three ribs in the mouth. A bear is also able to stand up, right? A lion can kind of stand up like a dog or a cat for a period of time. But a bear can kind of walk on its toes for a little bit. It can do a little bit more as far as that goes. Well, why is that important? Because the Medo-Persians talks about these ribs, three ribs in its mouth. Well, they conquered, Babylon conquered the world. But the Medo-Persians, when they came, the night that Belshazzar died, who was outside the walls? Medo-Persians. Remember we talked about how they dug underneath and they come in and they take over? Well, they devoured three major kingdoms that were still around. They went and conquered Babylon, they went and conquered Egypt, and then they also went and conquered Lydia, which we see in the New Testament is in modern-day Turkey. We see that word, or Lydia, in the New Testament. They go conquer three major conquests, and it showed their might. Because at that time, Babylon had taken things, but Egypt was still around, and but now the Persians come. Remember we said that they set up absolute monarchy? When these kings came, they are literally like, like, you do it my way. There is no other way. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar, he was allowing those people to worship and do whatever they wanted to do until the golden image. And then eventually he goes, hey, guess what? Daniel's God is God. Now, Cyrus comes to that understanding as well. But you keep reading there, and you see this next one. It's a leopard, verse 6. And lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. So it has these wings of a bird and also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Well, that's interesting because this is a little historical. I'll get into it more next week. But this is the Grecians. They come very swift. You may have learned in your history classes in school about Alexander the Great. In 15 years, Alexander the Great conquered the entire world. He did it very swiftly, like a leopard, and with the bird just kind of wings, you know, how fast it takes place. They conquer the entire world in this period of time, which 15 years to conquest the entire world. So they come and get Persia right away, but then they get everybody else. And this is where we begin to start seeing Anglo-Saxons and people moving up into the British Isles and these different places. Hellenistic Greek period is during this period of time. Koine Greek, our Bibles translated out of this Greek language. We start to see Aristotle and the Platos and the philosophers all happens. And so not only as those four heads, that's going to have to do with these four lieutenants. Alexander the Great only lived to 32, and then four of his lieutenants separated, and you get the Ptolemy and the Seleucids and some other kingdoms out of that, which we'll talk about next week. But these four heads, it also became great wisdom out of this period of time. Great philosopher. And a lot of the words that we have, maybe even in Latin and things like that today, we had Hebrew, but now the Greeks, they're coming over. Because remember what we were talking about in Daniel before? We had Aramaic, and they're talking about the language of the Chaldeans. But now Greek comes in, and by the time Jesus comes, Greek as well. And so that's interesting because it goes really fast, but it also spreads knowledge. It spreads wisdom, which Daniel says in his Bible that knowledge shall increase, right? And so we start to see that spread there. We go back here. Again, I'll talk more about that, the Grecians, next week. So then he sees a fourth beast in verse 7. But it doesn't have an animal figuration. It's just a terrible beast. So he sees this fourth beast, and it was dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Horns always signify power in the Bible, like a ram, right? I always think about like a Dodge Ram, right? Like they have the horns on there, and they're trying to show we've got power. So this is what this signifies. But remember we talked about in Nebuchadnezzar's these toes mixed with the miry clay, and they would break up and they would go everywhere. And we talked about that being the Roman Empire, how it really spread. The Roman Empire lasted from about 31 BC up until 476 AD. And so your country will be 250 years old on 4th of July. This about 500 years was the Roman Empire in charge. Now, how did the Romans do it? Because this is important for us. We're going to see this as we get to the prophetical impact. The Roman Empire, even when Jesus was born, They had beaten the world in submission. We call it the Roman Pax Romana, or the Pax Romana, Roman peace. They achieved peace. Nobody was coming against them. Nobody was worried about it. And from that, what were they able to do? The Romans were able to have their language, Latin, which most of your English words, English is a relatively new language. Latin, so a lot of our English words have Latin roots. If you looked at a Webster's dictionary, it will talk about the Latin. And so sometimes I'm not as big on Hebrew and Greek as I am Latin, because I don't speak Hebrew and Greek, but I speak English, and the root of that is Latin, right? But here's the key for us. The Roman Empire spreads through this beat down of the world. And so if you control the entire world for 500 years, what do you have? Great influence. The United States for 250 years now, and really for maybe just 200 of our years, the first 50 years were kind of back and forth. But since less than 200 years, I guess, but since the Civil War ended and kind of reconstituting, really maybe even just 120 years with like Theodore Roosevelt and us coming into this world power, what has the United States done? The United States has influenced every single nation all over the world. We're not very much influenced by Portugal, are we? We're like, oh, Portugal. We're not very much influenced by Brazil. And maybe it happens more now with the internet. But you know what all these other countries are? They're influenced by the United States. That's why those people in Iran are out in the middle of the streets protesting, these Muslims. You know why? Because a lot of little Iranian boys and girls, what do they want to do? They want to come to America. What do people do? They want to be Americans. And so when you go somewhere, I don't know how many of you have traveled, but if you're a tourist and you travel, there's not very many countries in the world. See, we do it differently. We're mad because Bad Bunny does Super Bowl and we can't understand it. But there's not many countries in the world. English, President Trump, there's never been a standard. We've never had a national language until President Trump signed it into office. We've never had a national language until just this last 4 years or last 8 years. But watch this. Here's why this is important. You go to Mexico. You go to, my daughter will be like, what do they speak in Australia? I'm like, English. But anyway, you go to Spain, you go to Italy, you know what they have in all these places? English. Now, they come here, and here's where we say, I don't understand, you don't speak English, because we don't have it set up everywhere where we can speak Spanish, or where we can speak Italian, or where we can speak Portuguese. No, it's not like that. But when you go to Mexico, they'll have up there, here's it in English. Now, we're starting to get that in Spanish in our country, where you can see the English and the Spanish, but that's relatively new too, right? But in other countries, why? Because the United States, the Western world, has had such an influence on everything else. Hey, guess what? Christianity is not a Western religion. It's a Middle Eastern religion. But the Americans, when we became a Christian nation, you know what we did? We sent missionaries, and it's become the greatest Christian nation. Didn't start here. Started in the Middle East. Started in Turkey. The Apostle Paul and Corinth and Ephesus. Because our influence has spread. So that's the Roman Empire. But now I want you to go a little deeper here with me. Look here. Keep going. I'm not going to read all these verses, but he considers the little horn in verse 8. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns, plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his eyes were the eyes like of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Well, that's interesting, because this is a real person on earth. I'll talk about him next week, and you've heard me talk about him a lot because I studied his life, because I'm interested, not in him, but just how it resembles the Antichrist. But that's the Antichrist. Pastor, how do you know it's the Antichrist? I'm glad you asked. Revelation chapter 13. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. Watch this. I don't always compare versions, but in this I did because it's interesting. I think the ESV has a poor translation there. I don't think the King James rendering, I know you guys are going to be so shocked. I don't think the King James version has the best rendering of it here. I actually like the New King James version of this because it will say something like, I'm going to use the Greek on it, but it will say something like he speaks preposterous words. I just like say preposterous, right? Like he's going to say bragging or pompous. I think the New King James says pompous. He speaks pompous words, so braggadocious. The NIV, sorry if you use NIV, it just has a poor rendering of everything. It's the worst Bible. So if you use NIV, just throw it away. I'll get you a new one. It's just not a good rendering. Every scholar believes that. I believe there's some good Bibles other than the King James, but nobody thinks the NIV is a good rendering. I'm just telling you the truth. Xavier, you like the NIV? Is that the one you use? No, okay, I didn't think so. But I'm just teasing you. But one of the little girls asked me the other day, said, you said that all the other Bibles are bad. I was like, it's not necessarily what I said. I just said the King James was the best. I was like, I didn't say LeBron James wasn't any good. I just said Michael Jordan's better. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're allowed to have a brand, all right? So I'm just teasing you. But what's really important here is that I think it's interesting because watch what the Bible says in Revelation 13. This little horn that was different and unique from all the rest that devours the others, he's going to devour all the nations. What did we talk about in Revelation? The Antichrist, he does not care one bit about anyone or anything. And he says, you can't have any God. We're Christians, so we're like, we're not allowed to do Christianity. No, the Muslims aren't allowed to have Islam when he comes. No Judaism, no Judaism, no Hinduism, no Buddhism. No, the religion is me. Either you get this mark or you die. Now, we're Christian Americans, so we're like, we're going to go after all the Christians. No, the Antichrist goes after everybody. Everybody. He doesn't care. The religion is him. You'll worship him or you'll lose your head. You'll get the mark or you'll lose your head. Pastor, I think the jab, that's got to be the mark of the beast. First of all, Sally, there's a rapture first. This happens in the tribulation, and me being a pre-tribulation rapture person, you're not even here when the mark of the beast comes. And it says that it's going to be in your forehead and your right hand, and I don't know many people who got a vaccination in their right hand or in their forehead. So calm down. Is it here? Are there things that it could be? Yeah, maybe, but you won't be here, so why are you so worried about it? Amen. That's a dumb argument. People argue, I think it's coming through the banking industry. You won't be here! And all it comes down to is Christians aren't going to take it anyway. That's why we're going to see all these tribulation saints, because they get killed for refusing to take the mark of the beast. But let's read this. Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. This is the Antichrist. He is being a counterfeit Jesus because he's the Antichrist. So he has to have a death and a resurrection, right, in order to make himself look like God. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Notice that the language from the Old Testament to the New Testament does not change. He's a beast. If you call somebody a beast, you know what I mean? I dated some beasts back in my days. You know what I mean? When I was young, I thought they were cute, and I look back, I'm like, woof. You know what I mean? Like, what a beast. But hey, we watched that Disney show called Beauty and the Beast. Because when we see something, we're like, oh, that's kind of beastly, right? This is a terrible thing. If you ever seen like the live action Beast or whatever, like, you know what I was watching the other day? The Hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, Quasimodo, he's kind of a beast, isn't he? That's what we call people when they get sick in our house. We make them stay in the room and we're like, hey, Quasi, you need anything? You know what I mean? Like, you're alone in the bell tower. You're not allowed to come out because we don't want to get sick. But this is a beastly image. And so the language doesn't change. And they worship the dragon, which gave power, that's Satan, unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He's the strongest man on earth. We're going to worship him. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. That's why the King James rendering in the Revelation is better than it is in Daniel. But that's why I like the New King James rendering there, because it's like pompous. It's arrogant, braggadocious. Who is like unto the beast? Oh, doesn't that sound like Isaiah 14 when Satan says that I will be? He doesn't say I want to be like the Most High God. He says I will be like the Most High. That's what he says. I will ascend into the sides of the north. Right? I'm going to do this. This is how braggadocious. Think about how braggadocious and preposterous you have to be to say, I'm going to be like God. Amen. That's what this is. He says, these great things and blasphemies and power was given on him to continue 42 months. Well, for all you math majors, how many years is that? Okay, good. All right, so watch this. Go back to Daniel. See what it says. So in Daniel 9, I'm not going to turn here to Revelation, but this also would be in Revelation. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. You know who the Ancient of Days is, Jesus Christ. Did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, which we see John in Revelation chapter 1 give, actually Revelation 1 and 2, I believe, gives an image of Jesus with hair like wool, right? And there's some symbolism in that, but there's also, he's a Jew, so he probably had hair like wool. But either way, his throne was like a fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire. If you know anything about your Bible, Ezekiel sees that, doesn't he? Doesn't Ezekiel see the wheels burning with fire? Some of you never heard that in your life, and that's okay. That's why you got to be a Bible reader. All right? A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered on him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. Oh, this is awesome. Revelation chapter 7, it says there's people, we're going to see this in a moment, Daniel, that there's people of every kindred, tribe, tongue, nation that come and fall before the Lamb, and that they worship him, and that they love him, and that they are there. And we're going to see this in just a moment. I won't go to it just yet. But let's keep reading here. And it says concerning, I'm going to go to verse 12. And concerning the rest of the beasts, they had dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season of time. So what happened right before that is in verse 11, because of the great words which the horn spake, Daniel sees it. He sees the beast is slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning fire. Well, guess what happens to the Antichrist? When the Antichrist is done, when God is done with him, he kills him. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived, them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, or sulfur. Doesn't smell good. Remember when Donkey tells Shrek, that is not brimstone. I know brimstone. That is not no brimstone. Brimstone doesn't smell good, all right? That's what hell, the lake of fire is like. And so we see he's destroyed, but what happens? He's destroyed, but what goes on? But he doesn't destroy all the kings, because we know that even after Jesus comes and reigns on earth for 1,000 years, that Satan's just put in prison, but he's loose for a little season, and he goes out and he deceives even the very elect, if it were possible, right? And he gets millions of people to come against God again, even after all of that. It's incredible what takes place here. So now we have to have this stopping point. You say, okay, Pastor Bryson, this is taking place hundreds of years even before Jesus came to earth. This thing still haven't come to pass. Why is Daniel seeing this? Why is this way back? Why did Daniel get this? The other prophets, Ezekiel, Joel, Isaiah, they see some of the same things. But why is Daniel getting this one? And why is it so? Why? Well, how did this make any sense in the time of Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's great-great-great-grandson is in charge? Why is this important at all? Why would Daniel see this? Well, because remember, Rome ends near the end of the 5th century, and the connection with these four kingdoms and the Antichrist we know is still to happen, but what was Rome? According to the time that Jesus lived in this Roman Pax Romana, it is the foreshadowing, that kingdom, it's the foreshadowing of the Antichrist. Now, I'm going to get a little bit hectic, so you got to be real careful. Jesus dies in the midst of that kingdom, right? For all you math majors, if it starts in 30-some B.C. or and lasts until 476 A.D., if Jesus died in 33 A.D. or 30 A.D., as some would say, then that means he died in that period of time, right? He died under that kingdom. Now, remember, the Jews, they were the ones that put Jesus to death, as far as they're the ones that wanted it, but they didn't have the power to. So if you read history, we even say it, if you ever said the Apostles' Creed, now it's mostly Catholic or Protestant, but we don't quote it every week, but they say that, and he suffered under the Pontius Pilate. I don't like that creed, because he did suffer under the Pontius Pilate, but not because Pontius Pilate wanted him to, but that's what history states. See, that's not necessarily Bible. Yes, Pilate gave the order, but he didn't want to. And also, I don't like taking away from Jesus in that creed. I used to say it every week when I was a Methodist growing up. I don't like taking away from that, because no man takes my life. I lay down my life freely. So I realize he suffered, and we talk about that, but Jesus did it on purpose. It almost seems like Pilate took his life. No, Jesus says, you have no authority over me. You have no power over me unless my Father, which is in heaven, gave it to me. So that's why Luther and Calvin and all the reformers, I agree with them to a point. But there's other things that just from the Bible that I'm like, nah, Jesus, we don't need to say a Nicene Creed or an Apostles' Creed. We don't have to do any of that kind of stuff, because that's not what Jesus said. And that's historical, and it's church history, but it's not biblical, okay? And traditions are okay to a point, but only to where they disagree with the Bible. But go on here. So the Roman government, remember we talked about these 10 toes. Oh, well, guess what? In the book of Revelation, it says it has 10 horns too. So just like Daniel, these 10 horns are these 10 kingdoms, and they go and they spread out because that's the clay and the iron that was broken up, and they go all these places. And so the Roman Empire is a foreshadowing of what the Antichrist does, and the Antichrist has had all these minions over time. I can't prove this, but I believe this. We'll talk about one next week. But I believe that Hitler was used of Satan to do certain things and was spread. I believe that Idi Amin and some people even recent times that you guys know, I believe Fidel Castro was used in this way that Satan orchestrated these different kingdoms. The Russian, maybe Vladimir Putin, for all I know, is being used of that way right now. But all these kingdoms that come out after Rome that are spread out, you guys don't want to hear this, but I believe our country right now is being used, and maybe there's still a battle, but I believe our country right now is being used and puppeted by Satan to spread influence of wrong things. You know, this doesn't make any sense to you, but you know that radical extremist Islam, as people in our country sometimes think everybody is, you know they're better than us when it comes to morality, right? My little girls watch WWE wrestling, big time wrestling. We always grew up, and the girls on there are dressed like absolute hookers. But when they go to Saudi Arabia, they have to be completely covered up because they'll chop their head off. You don't dare come outside as a woman. They're lucky they get to show their face. But they have a complete bodysuit on. There's no showing your belly button or showing your butt cheeks. Oh, no. Because you do that, they'll chop your head off. Sharia law is strong. I realize why they're doing it, that it's not just morality. I'm just saying it's what we sometimes see. You know, the American economy and the American culture, we have really messed up Christianity. Mahatma Gandhi said, he came here, he said, I like your American Jesus, but I do not like your American Christianity. You know, he's like, I'm a Hindu, and I'm kind of a Buddhist, and I like Christian, I like Jesus, but woo. Came over here, he's like, you guys are, and that was a long time ago. Imagine what he saw now, if he saw what we look like. So the kingdom is a foreshadowing. I'm going to speed up here. So what we're talking about Rome, we're talking about Imperial Rome, whereas Roman Pax Romana, out of that what comes? The Roman Catholic Church. Remember I told you that the Roman Catholic Church has murdered more true Christians than any other? You can do your research on your own. The Roman Catholic Church, holy wars and these things, has murdered way more people than Adolf Hitler did. It wasn't just Jews, so we put a lot of stock in that because Hitler, he went after one group of people, and I'm not okaying that, obviously. And obviously we understand the Jews as Christians, what that reference. But the Roman Catholic Church, Bloody Mary, she's a Catholic and she's killing people because the Bible's in English. You can't have that, Tyndale. The Bible's in English. We're not going to have that. Off with his head. Yeah, that's how she got her name. It's not a drink, okay? It's a person. I guess it is a drink, but that's where it got its name. So we have to see this, okay? Now watch this. So we see this incredible statement here. I'm going to speed up here and go forward a little bit. We saw in verse 17 who these beasts are. But in verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. This is the millennial kingdom. He says, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up before him, who of three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Oh, you know what happens there? The Bible says that the Antichrist prevails against the saints. Revelation chapter 7. Turn here with me. Revelation chapter 7. Last time we turned, and I'm going to finish up. We'll continue next week because, like I said, all these chapters kind of run together, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, which would be easy for me to do. I could keep talking to about 5 o'clock if you want it, but I can't. All right. So Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. John now was getting the revelation, right? Same thing Daniel sees. And one of the elders answered and said, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. Now watch this. I think Daniel sees the church, but he doesn't know what it is in a couple of chapters from now. I think Daniel sees the church, but nowhere in the Old Testament is the church prophesied by one of the prophets, them knowing what it is. Okay, they don't use that word. So what he's seeing is not the church, he's seeing the tribulation saints. And they're not the church. Why are tribulation saints not the church? Because the church had already been raptured up. There is no more church on earth. So during the tribulation, what we have to remember is Hundreds of thousands of people get saved in the tribulation because all those people who refuse to take the mark. Remember this, in the tribulation, we kind of get these like old school movies of after the rapture and things like this, these Kirk Cameron things that happen. And it's like, you know, it's like everything's a third world country. That's not what happens in the first 3.5 years of tribulation. First 3.5 years of tribulation, there's a peace proclamation with Israel and the Antichrist, and everything looks good. And it's pretty peaceful. Of course, it's still the world, so there's stuff going on. So they're trying to explain this phenomenon, and the strong delusion comes up. Where'd all these people go? And why are they supposedly just, you know, because Christians are not just Americans. They're from all over the world. So thousands of, hundreds of people are going to go up from Africa and from here, wherever our missionaries are at, leading people to Christ. We're just going to be raptured up, and they're going to like, how do we explain it? And they're going to explain it with science or some phenomenon because people are gullible, and that's what's going to happen, right? But during the tribulation, remember this. If we get raptured up today, this building is still here. Right. This isn't like, it doesn't catch on fire. Like, we're just gone. So you know what stays here? These Bibles. These hymn books. Think about every church. Now, in our church, there'll be still people, a couple people show up Sunday. but you know what's going to happen? The Word of God, Jesus says this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word, it's not going to go away, is it? There's still going to be biblical libraries. And think about this. Think about the universities, the Christian universities. Their buildings just don't crumble at the rapture. They're just not filled with people anymore. And so all this stuff is out there, and so people are still able to read and be educated, and all of a sudden stuff's gone. People that never got the Word, that didn't get strong delusion, that never denied the truth of the Word of God according to the Bible, they're going to go in there and they're going to be like, wait a minute. It's going to be kind of like Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a Catholic until he actually read the Bible. Yeah. And then he was like, you know what? 95 Theses posted on your door. We're wrong. So these people are going to go. And so when the Antichrist comes and says, take my mark, they're like, you know, I read this in Revelation that says, I won't take it. Off with his head. Oh, they overcome the saints. The Bible, Daniel says, wears the saints out. My mom used to say that to me. Anybody, mom ever say that? Do that again, I'm going to wear you out, boy. That sounds worse than getting a spanking, don't it? Wear you out. That don't sound good. He says, where's the saints out? But watch this, verse 14. He said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Oh, man. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Well, that's different than the church, because what happens with us when we get there? We get married to Jesus. I play that song on our iPod. Is that wedding music that I hear? Oh, I love that song. Is it the cathedrals that sing it? I don't know. But I love to hear that song, because is that wedding, when the tribulation is going on, we're at the wedding supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're with Jesus. So with the bride has made herself ready and now has become the Lamb's wife. So we're married to Jesus. So we're sitting there. And guess what? The tribulation saints, I don't know how they serve. They're in heaven, but they're not a part of the church. They're not a part of the bride of Christ. They have a different thing. And Daniel saw that. He doesn't see the church. He sees the tribulation saints. They got wore out, but they get saved in that period of time. They refuse the mark of the beast. They get saved. There's hundreds of thousands of millions of people like that, according to the Bible. Thousands, it says a multitude. When the Bible says a multitude, it just means don't try to count, because you don't have an abacus big enough. Now watch. We close out with this. Go back there and you see, because again, we're going to continue next week with this. But there's judgment. And so verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, this is the Antichrist, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Daniel says early in Daniel chapter 2 that our God changes times and seasons and things. And they shall be given unto his hand until a time and a times and a dividing of time. A time is a year, times is two years, and a dividing of time is a half. So 3.5 years. Oh, what do we know from Revelation? 3.5 years of tribulation is the worst time in human history. And the Antichrist is ruling and reigning his kingdom, and he's going to wear the saints out in that period. Because the first 3.5 is fairly peaceable. It says, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Daniel's like, you know what? He's like, my cognitive functions, this really bothers me. I'm really troubled. I'm having a hard time sleep. And my countenance changed. So I kept the matter in my heart. And I want you to remember this. And I'm finished. But we pick up in chapter 8. Again, these chapters go together. But I want you to remember this. Can you imagine? You maybe not be so troubled by it right now because you've been able to read the Bible and you didn't get this in a vision. But can you imagine getting the tribulation and the Antichrist in a vision? He saw the beast, he saw the Antichrist, and he was terrified. Can you imagine? I hope nobody in here knows this person, and maybe you've not even heard of it, but where I live, about 4 minutes from the gym I work out in, a young teacher from Tip City, if you saw that, was murdered, and there's all kinds of speculation. I won't get into it, but you know, somebody in my age range that's 4 minutes from where, you know, I live in that county, and where we work out technically is in Tip City, and right there, and like, that has probably caused some people nightmares. Because this is a rural place and not a place where you expect this to happen, a nice area and things like this. I mean, like, you know, Troy is kind of just like the hub, but Tip City is like the affluent, nice place in Miami County. Like, nobody's expecting that to happen there. I mean, even like the thing that happened in West Milton, you know, took a drive from here to here. This is just Tip City. My point is this. People are literally watching the news and having nightmares about this. And people are having a hard time. I had a lady at my Bible study yesterday that heard about it. And she's having a hard time sleeping because she thinks somebody's going to break in and get her. Can you imagine being Daniel and seeing the Antichrist killing thousands and thousands of people and him saying, no, you can't buy any bread or do anything? Can you see all the stuff? He sees the second half of the tribulation. Daniel's seeing this. Can you imagine that all the earth is burning on fire and a third of the green grass and a third of the waters are destroyed and a third of the people are... Daniel's seeing this in a dream, in a night. No wonder it troubles him. That's what Daniel's seeing. We're going to continue on. We're going to get back into the historical things and the prophetical things as they match up there. But keep those things. So you want to be here next week because these next 2 weeks after this, they all go together. And so just make sure you're here, or at least if you can't be here, get a copy and listen to it online so you keep up with what's going on. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for another day to come into your house to look in your word. Lord, I'm grateful that we have the Bible and that we do not have to go and worry about, you know, what's going to happen in the future, because we already know. We know, and it says in Daniel, at the end of it, there's a kingdom that lasts forever, and the king that's on the throne, his dominion shall last forever, and his saints are with him. Praise be to God for that promise and for the salvation which was wrought in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we go to here, though, let it be motivation, as always, for us to tell other people that they may not have to go through that suffering, great tribulation period. Father, I ask that you would bless, you would help us, guide us in all ways. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask. Amen. All right, dear friends, God bless you all. I will see you Sunday if I don't see